Okay, I'm going to do, it's quiz time just to get everybody's attention and focus and all that. So the three children here will be given an opportunity to raise your hand first. I'm going to ask a few questions. In Ramayana, who's the main person that's the subject of Ramayana? Go ahead. Ram. That was pretty easy. Ram had three brothers. What's the name of each of the three brothers? Ram. One of them.
Lakshmana.
Lakshmana. And he had two other brothers. I couldn't hear it. Shatrughna, right? Right? And then the other brother was the one that was supposed to become the king, but he refused to become the king, and he wanted Ram to become the king. And his name starts with a B.
Bharata.
Bharata. So, Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna. Okay, here's a little more difficult one. Two of them were brothers. There were three mothers. And of the three mothers, one of them had twins. Of the three mothers, one of them had twins. Which were the ones that were twins? Were born of the same mother. Now, let's see if the kids can... You don't know, right? You have a guess. Very good. Okay. Here's another one. The two that were best friends were who? Best friends. Yeah, Ram and Lakshmana. But, or and, the other two were the same kind of friends. Shatrughna and Bharata. Shatrughna was the younger, Bharata was the older, and Shatrughna was friends with Bharata like Lakshman was with Ram. They were like inseparable. Inseparable. Okay. In Krishna's pastimes, Krishna also had a brother. In Krishna's pastimes, Krishna also had a brother. Who was that brother? Go ahead. Dyuti.
Balaram.
Balaram. You knew that one, right? Okay. Now, in Krishna's pastimes, who was older? Balaram or Krishna? Who was older?
Balaram.
Balaram. And during Ram's pastimes, who was older, Ram or Lakshman?
Ram.
What happened? Because in those pastimes, so you've seen deities of Krishna Balaram, right? Here's Krishna, here's Balaram. And also, here's Lord Chaitanya, here's Lord Nityananda over on his right. Lord Nityananda, Nityananda Ram. Because Nityananda Ram is the same as Balaram. Just as Lord Chaitanya is the same as Krishna. Right? You agree or you disagree? You agree. So same, Ram and Lakshman. That's the same tattva or the same personality with different forms of the Supreme Lord taking part in the Lord's pastimes. Krishna, Balaram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda. Ramachandra, Lakshman. But Lakshman is the younger brother. And Balaram is the older brother. What happened? There's a couple of reasons. There's a nice reason. When Lakshman was the younger brother, his mood... He was totally dedicated, inseparably fixed on serving Lord Ramachandra. When Ramachandra and Lakshman first met Hanuman, there were some introductions. Lakshman, first Hanuman said who he was. You know that story, right? You know the Ramayana story a little bit? A little bit? A little bit. So they first met. Here's Sugriva up on top of a mountain, Rishimukh Mountain, along with his ministers. Hanuman was one of the ministers. Hanuman was sent by Sugriva, go check them out. See if they're friends or enemies. It's a spy mission. But so Hanuman knew how to change shape. So he was told, change your shape into a Brahmin instead of a monkey. So he came as a Brahmin. And as soon as he was with Rama Lakshman, he knew right away, because he's a toady and that's the Supreme Lord. There's no problem. So immediately disclosed who he was, what's going on. And then he asked, he wanted to know who they were. So when Lakshman is introducing himself, he stated who he was. I'm the servant of Ram. He's my life, he's my soul, he's my everything. I'm simply dedicated to him. That's who I am. We're both sons of Dasarath from the Ikshvaku dynasty. And we're here together looking for Sugriva. Do you know where Sugriva is? They asked Hanuman. He's a minister. He said, yay, let's go see Sugriva. So he took them. But that's Hanuman, that's Lakshman's sense of who he is. And this is the outstanding feature of his character. There's some other parts to his character which you're going to hear about. Like he's really chivalrous. He wants to protect Ram. He doesn't need protection, but he wants to protect Ram. He wants to help Ram. He's there for Ram. Nothing is going to stand in his way. He's very powerful. Totally submissive. If Ram says yes, it's yes. Ram says no, it's no. I mean, he has some things to say, but we'll hear. There's some very nice dialogue. So, that's Lakshman. We're going to be speaking this evening about Lakshman. I'm going to read some passages when Ram was banished into the forest, and you know, Lakshman has some things to say about that. He's pretty strong too. But it shows his character, his love for Ram. Complete loyalty. I hear some recording. Is it your machine? Oh. It's playing back the voice or something? It's got a kirtan group inside that box? Okay. Okay. So, okay. Okay, okay. Let's see what happens. There was an extra sound coming from the machine. Let's see what happens. Can you hear it? All right, well, I'll pretend it's not there. So in the Bala Kanda section of Ramayana, that Bala is the childhood of Ramayana. Actually, commentators say there's only like 12 verses speaking about Ram's childhood pastime. So really what Bala refers to is it's about Vishvamitra. Because he became a very important person in Ram's marriage, certainly, but not just the marriage maker, disclosing his identity as the Supreme Lord and so many things. So he is referred to as Bala. He is respected like an exalted Brahmarshi. He's Bala. Anyway, that's what the Acharyas say, the commentators say. In that early portion of Ramayana, there is an effort made by Dasarath, who is without sons. Oh, by the way, another quiz question. Did you know that Ram has an older sister? The kids don't know. Some of the adults know. Long before they were boys, as sons of Dasarath, there was a daughter. And the daughter was put in the care of one of Dasarath's dear friends who had no children. And the daughter's name?
Shanta.
That's a nice peaceful name. Shanta. And eventually, Shanta was married to whom?
Rishyashringa.
Because Rishyashringa was the brahmana who was performing the yajna for Dasarath to have a son. But his wife was Dasarath's daughter. So Rishyashringa is performing the yajna. And then there's this description. While the yajna was going on, because it was a long one, there was two Ashvamedha yajna and the other one for having a son. In the heavenly region, the demigods were having a discussion about the danger that they were having with Ravana, because Ravana wasn't just hanging out on the earth planet. He was conquering the universe. He was a bad person. So they were very concerned. And as they were having their discussion what to do, Lord Vishnu came. Lord Vishnu appeared and reassured the demigods, along with my own expansions, because Lakshman is one of Vishnu's expansions, I shall soon be born as four sons of Dasarath. So Vishnu has expansions. And four of those expansions were going to appear as sons of Dasarath. I myself shall appear as his eldest son, and at least according to Padma Purana it says, the other three are his weapons. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it doesn't speak like that. It's the Chaturvyuha. The word vyuha in Sanskrit means expansion. That's the meaning, vyuha. It's a certain type of expansion. And one of those, so I'm going to spend a little bit of time. This is for the adults now. The kids can try to pay attention if you can. In Krishna Loka. Krishna Loka, right? There's Krishna and Balaram, but there's also another part of Krishna Loka beside Vrindavan is Dwarka and Mathura. That's in Krishna Loka. And the Chaturvyuha, they reside eternally there. Balaram expands as Sankarshan. And Sankarshan expands as Pradyumna, and Pradyumna expands as Aniruddha. This is described in detail. They're expansions of one another. And they take responsibility for, in the spiritual realm, for the Lord's pastimes. So I'm going to read some details that If you can't remember these details, don't worry about it. But details are nice anyways. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of the four expansions, the first one is Vasudeva. Vasudeva. It's just like when Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, he showed his Vasudeva form, the son of Vasudeva. So, these four have another term besides Chaturvyuha. Chatur means four, four expansions. They're also called, Maha Avastha. Maha Avastha is the most important forms of the Lord. The first of them, supremely worshipable, is Lord Vasudeva. So Ram is Vasudeva. He is the controlling deity of consciousness. This comes out in the process of creation. Canto 3. He is the origin of pure goodness. Pure goodness. Nothing, no tinge of anything material. Even material goodness, pure goodness. Vasudeva. So Vasudeva appears in the mind of Vasudeva when his consciousness is pure, right? When there's Vasudeva consciousness, Vasudeva appears. So Vasudeva is the origin of pure goodness. Vasudeva is worshipped within the heart by meditation because he is the predominating deity of the heart. And if you, those of you who like to take notes, you can look at Canto 4, Chapter 3, Text 23. He's the predominating deity of the heart. And then he expands his angsa, or part, his Sankarshan. And Sankarshan is Vasudeva's personal expansion for pastimes. And Sankarshan is the same as Lakshmana. When Ram appears, he appears with Lakshmana. Lakshmana is the same as Sankarshan, his pastimes, his expansion for pastimes. So with Ram, he does pastimes. With Lakshmana, as with Krishna, he does pastimes with Balaram. And of course other expansions as well. He is the worshipable deity of false ego from immaterial creation. In the spiritual world there's no false ego, but he has that function. He oversees that realm. And of course there's something to do with Lord Shiva, but we won't go there because it's too complicated. He causes the universe's dissolution. Sankarshan. By his expansion. His expansion is Anantashesh, and when it's time for cosmic dissolution, from the mouths of Ananta come flames. And Lord Shiva does his dance, and the flames engulf the universe, and it's over. So he has some role to play in dissolution of the universe. Sankarshan. Sometimes, this is just taken straight from, well, it's from Chaitanya Charitamrita, but actually Chaitanya Charitamrita is taking source from Rupa Goswami in his writing Lagu Bhagavatamrita. I'm doing this because it just puts in context the pastimes are eternal personalities in the spiritual world, and they're appearing in this world and performing pastimes together for people of this world that may not understand what's going on in the spiritual world. But this is saying what's going on in the spiritual world. And then there's the pastimes. Same. So sometimes Sankarshan is called Jiva because he is the birthplace of all the jivas. So sometimes, you know, where do jivas come from with the origin? Here's one explanation. And that's Sankarshan. He's the source. Not like once upon a time there were jivas and then he said, hey, let there be some jivas and then some jivas. Because jivas are eternal. But that eternal jiva has its source, just like, anyway, just like light from a fire has the source, is the fire. So, that's Sankarshan. And he has his angsa, or his expansion, at Lord Ananta. And Lord Ananta does sustaining, he sustains and supports the universe. But he also has a role to play in its destruction. So those are two. That's Ram and Lakshman, or Vasudev and Sankarshan, and a angsa expansion or avatar of Sankarshan is Pradyumna. Interesting. Pradyumna is the deity of intelligence. And intelligent people worship him. Or people who want intelligence, they worship him. He's the deity of intelligence. He, for material creation, he's the cause of the universe's creation. He creates everything. And one of his expansions is Kamadev. So you know this when Krishna, who was Krishna's first son? His first wife, Krishna, and Dwaraka married? First wife? Queen? Rukmini. And the first son? Pradyumna. Pradyumna is one of the Chaturvyuha, but he's a, within this Pradyumna that appeared as a son of Krishna and Rukmini, was a partial expansion of Kamadev, so he's known like that. Pradyumna. In Dwarka. So, for the purpose of material propagation, for people to get interested in generation of the species, Kamadev plays a role. And he's a partial expansion from Pradyumna. There's like this whole big network and connection of all things here with something in the spiritual world. So, of them, when the four brothers appear, Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, and then Lord Aniruddha is the deity of the mind. He is worshipped by the philosophers. He carefully protects and maintains the universe. So there's they have their function in universal affairs, creation, maintenance, and dissolution. They have their function in the Vaikuntha realm. They have their function in Goloka. And then they have their function when Leelas are performed. So that's no more technical things this evening. That's it for the technical things. But it's good to get a picture of they're descending from the spiritual realm. So in Krishna Loka, there is Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwaraka. These Chaturvyuha expansions have their position in Dwaraka. They have their position in Dwaraka. And they have their position in Ayodhya. And they have their position in Vaikuntha. And their expansions are dealing with the affairs of material creation. You can't get away from Krishna, even if you try, because he's everywhere. Different noises. Now, just one more thing. The Padma Purana doesn't speak all this. The Padma Purana speaks, Ram is Vasudev, and the three brothers are incarnations of his weapons. Which are those weapons? Well, first it's his incarnation as Shesha, that's Lakshmana, incarnation of Chakra, his disc, that's Bharata, and Shankha, his conch. That's Shatrughna. Different perspective, maybe a different cycle of the four yugas, whatever. Those are two different descriptions. But Brahma, so back to where we got into this. Brahma said, you should all assist Lord Vishnu by the following. Ravana made a mistake. When he asked for benedictions from me, he didn't ask for benedictions to be not killed by a human or an animal. So the Lord will appear as a human. And you can propagate those who will help Lord Vishnu in his killing of Ravana by producing children in species of the vanaras, the monkeys, etc. So that's, then Vishnu came and spoke, very soon I will appear as four sons of Dasarath. I personally will be the eldest son and the other three, and so forth. At that very moment, just as Dasarath was performing the Putra Kameshti Yagya, Putra Kameshti, Yagya for having a son, there rose from the sacred fire a great being, a servant of Lord Brahma, who handed over a pot of payasam. You know what payasam is? You do. Tell me what it is. What is it?
Type of sweet.
A type of?
Sweet.
Sweet. What kind of sweet, you know? Milk cooked in rice.
Yeah.
Sweet rice. Sweetened. Sweet rice. Because that's what sweet rice is. You've had sweet rice. You've not had sweet rice? Oh, we'll make some arrangement to get you some sweet rice if you haven't had any. It's rice boiled in milk and some sugar, some sweetening, and it gets really soft and it's really nice. Just a little something over here. I have in our Hare Krishna temple kitchen, I never did much cooking. But as a Sankirtan leader, we had an all-day Saturday Sankirtan. Everybody in the temple would go out. Except one person, or two people. The head pujari, because they had to take care of the deities. The cook would cook the offering and then go out. And me, because I had to like make sure everyone had what they needed. So one of the things that we needed, one of the services that was needed, was making sweet rice for the Sunday feast. And it had to be done at night, so they could cool down before the Sunday feast. So I learned how to make sweet rice without burning it. You know, it was in this giant pot. Big, giant, because, you know, sweet rice for the Sunday feast is a lot. Now, I don't know how if they make sweet rice for the Sunday feast these days, but that was like, you can't have a Sunday feast without payasam. Okay, so this radiant being came out of the fire with a pot of payasam. Which will bring about the good fortune of offspring to Dasarath. Dasarath gave half to his first wife, Kaushalya. Of what was left, he gave the other half of what was left to Sumitra. And then half of that half, which was one-eighth of the total amount, to Kaikeyi. And then again gave the remaining portion to Sumitra. So Sumitra had double, she's the one that had twins. And sometime later, according to Ramayana, 12 months later, the sons were born. The first of them was Ram. And he was born on the Navami day, the ninth day of the bright fortnight, in the month of Chaitra, which is generally April, May, Kaushalya gave birth to Ram. The next morning, early next morning, the next son was born. Kaikeyi gave birth to Bharata. And that was the Dasami morning, the 10th day. The same day at noon, the twins were born. Lakshman and Shatrughna. The children were born in the same order as their mothers had consumed the payasam. The word, the name for Lakshmana, because this is focusing on Lakshmana, it comes from the word Lakshmi, which generally means wealth. But Lakshman had no interest in material wealth. He had a different kind of wealth. What was that other kind of wealth? That his wealth was his attitude of service to Ram. That was his wealth. He became inseparable from Ram and always looked for opportunities to serve him. His very life is symbolic of his name, the wealth of service. He was eager to collect this wealth of opportunities of service. Ram showed by example that whatever the situation, we should always follow the principles. This is Ram's characteristic. Each of the four brothers had special characteristics. Ram was truthfulness. And following the instructions of wise superiors. Abide by truth. Even if it was somebody else's truth, his father's truth, he couldn't depart from his father. His father made some utterance. That's it. Sacrifice everything for that because you don't depart from truthfulness. And obedience to his superiors. When his father said, whatever Vishvamitra says, do it. And then it was like, wait a minute, he wants me to kill a woman. Tataka, the first demon, was a lady. But after he got satisfied by Vishvamitra, the final thing was, my father said, do whatever Vishvamitra said, so I'll do whatever Vishvamitra said, because my father said. So abiding by instructions, that's another outstanding characteristic of Ram. And for Lakshman, the outstanding characteristic, serve the Supreme Lord completely, body, mind, and words, Atma Nivedana. That's a nice term. Total surrender. Nothing squeaky clean, nothing else. Bharata. Bharata didn't question. He very much wanted Ram to be the king. He wanted Ram to come back and rule the kingdom. And whenever an idea came forward with it, Ram said no, and then no to that one, and no to that one. He didn't get an argument. He went another door. He tried another door. But, it ended up with Ram wins because he's the superior. He's subordinate to the instructions of his superior. Bharata, and then Shatrughna exemplified that serving the Lord was important, but just as important was serving his devotees. So Shatrughna was very subservient to Bharata, and that way pleasing the Lord. So now they're born, they're growing up, they're young boys. Lakshman is inseparable from Ram. Lakshman, as his name indicates, was endowed with good fortune. That good fortune, service. His service was like another life force of Ram and an extended body of Ram. Without Lakshman, Ram would not eat or sleep or go anywhere. Lakshman would always follow behind Ram with bow and arrows to protect him. Lakshman had a younger brother, right? They were twins. Shatrughna was the younger brother. And Shatrughna was to Bharat as Lakshman was to Ram. All four of them started their educational and martial training under the sage Vasishtha. Soon they grew up. Suddenly one day, a powerful sage, Vishwamitra, entered Ayodhya and requested Dasarath to send Ram with him to kill some demons who were disturbing his sacrifices. So you know that story. Dasarath was, he's not even 16. But he wasn't 16, he was just 12. When Ram went to the forest with Vishwamitra, he was 12. That's pretty young. So he was kind of like trying to talk his way out of it. And Vashishta said, don't try to talk your way out of it. If you anger Vishwamitra, you got a big problem. And you don't need to worry about your son. Vishwamitra will protect him. He can do away with these demons like anything. He can create another universe. He can certainly take care of two or three demons. He'll be nicely protected. It's his affection upon your sons. Take it in that light. So Dasarath was pacified. Off they went. And of course, they means Lakshman and Ram are inseparable, so Lakshman had to go too. So he went. On the way, and I have to tell the whole Ramayana, because Lakshman weaves throughout the whole Ramayana. On the first day, long journey, two 12-year-old boys, long journey. He wanted to see what they're made of. They weren't tired. So at the end of the day, he gave them some special mantras. He was pleased with them. So some mantras where they could conquer sleep, fatigue. And he narrated pastimes associated with different holy places and rivers. And finally, they got to Tataka. Ram was reluctant. Vishwamitra gave his assurances why there's no sin to be incurred, etc. So Tataka and Subahu, her son, was killed. And then the other son's name was? Anyone of you three girls? The other son? Tataka, Subahu, and starts with an M. Maricha. Oh, Maricha. Okay, yeah. So he was hit with an arrow by Ram and went flying in the air 800 miles and landed in the ocean. Ouch. He survived. And some other things happened after that. So Vishwamitra Muni was very pleased. He gave both the boys some celestial weapons and all kinds of things that would help them in their service, which he knew was to kill Ravan and rid the world of the demoniac forces, the Rakshasas. So that became very important later on with those weapons that he received from Vishwamitra. He then suggested, so they went to the city of Mithila, which was the capital of the King Janak in Videha province. So there he broke the bow of Shiva. Marriage of Sita was made to Ram. And who was married to Lakshmana, the three girls? Lakshmana's wife was Sita's sister. And Sita's sister's name was, starts with a U. One of the three girls. You know? Never heard it. Okay, any of the adults? Urmila. Urmila. And Lakshmana became husband and wife. And Janak had a brother. So a suggestion was made, his brother had two daughters. Hey, let's have a big marriage. So the two daughters of his brother were married to Bharata and Shatrughna. It was a big wedding. Big, really big wedding. And all they go back to Ayodhya. And that ends when Kanda, this starts the Ayodhya Kanda. On the way they met Parashuram. Ram defeated Parashuram. and Parashuram blessed him. And the power of Parashuram was then transferred to Ram, at least in the Leela, but Ram's powerful anyways. So everything was going really nice until something not nice happened. And what was that something that's not nice that happened? Our three girls? What happened that wasn't nice? Ram was going to be crowned the king, the prince regent, that means the successor king. And then what happened? What happened? Who twisted Kaikeyi's mind like that? Name starts with an M. Mantara. Mantara? Yes, you agree? So it's a nice story, but I want to just focus on Lakshman. So it so happened that Mantara convinced Kaikeyi that Dasharatha had ill intention and that she, Kaikeyi, would be a maidservant to Kaushalya, and that her son Bharat, that Ram would just do away with him because he'd be competition, and all kinds of like nasty things. And first Kaikeyi was saying, no. And Mantra convinced her, yes. So, okay, so my son should become the prince regent. How do I do that? Remember how that happened? Long ago, Dasharatha was a big hero, and he was so powerful that his name means, Dasa means 10, and Ratha means chariot, like Ratha Yatra, right? Means the chariot festival. Ratha Yatra, chariot festival. So Ratha, he was able to fight as if he was on 10 chariots. Anywhere you look, there's Dasharatha fighting. So he was so powerful one time, he was asked by Indra to help Indra in the battle with the demons. And he was going out into the battlefield and got smacked. He got knocked off his chariot, and his wife, one of the queens, Kaikeyi, put him on the chariot, took him to a safe place, and revived him so he didn't die. And he gave her this opportunity, take two boons, whatever you'd like. You saved my life. So now's your time. Ask for these two boons. What were the two boons? Your son, Bharat, should become the prince regent, not Ram. And the second one, what was the second one? Ram should be banished to the forest for 14 years. That's a nice number, 14. The idea was if he's gone for that long, Bharat can be well established, and even if Ram comes back, no problem. But if he stays around, it's going to be a problem. So he's got to get out of town. 14 years. So that's what happened. And the plan, Ram immediately accepted. So now we're going to hear what Lakshman has to say about that. This is his friendship and his chivalry combined. Lakshmana became angry and decided to kill his father for accepting Kaikeyi's proposal and thereby restore the kingdom back to Ram. And Ram spoke with both of them in the following way. Here's like 6 points. He said, don't blame Kaikeyi. That all of this, he's just keeping it simple because of time. It's already 7:30. This is just the arrangement of destiny. What's destiny? Means like a plan of higher authority. That he's the highest authority. So it is the plan of higher authority. It's his plan. But he's accepting it because it's his plan. So he says, I do not remember ever committing an offense, either knowingly or unknowingly, against my mother's or father. So he doesn't know why this calamity came, and it's not because of some mistake that he made. He's reaping the fruit of some mistake that he made. Therefore, his conclusion is, it's destiny. Destiny has directed Kaikeyi's intelligence. What that means is, in the heart of Kaikeyi is super soul, and Ram is the super soul in the heart of Kaikeyi. So he instructed Kaikeyi to do what she did. And there's a reason. It's for his pastime, to go to the forest and give his association to the sages in the forest that were eager for his association. How's he going to do that if he has to stay in Ayodhya and be the king? So, his arrangement. Destiny has directed her intelligence and fixed her mind. Hence I should not torment her. I shall leave very soon. Destiny alone is responsible for my exile, as well as my getting the kingdom back. How could Kaikeyi possibly have brought about my exile if the thought had not been instigated by destiny? And then he just considers her character. Kaikeyi is gentle. Only destiny made her speak in this wicked way. In the past, I never made any distinction between any of my mothers, nor did Kaikeyi distinguish between myself and her son. I cannot find any reason other than destiny as the cause for which her terrible, harsh words could provoke the emperor to stop my coronation and banish me. How else could she, being a princess of gentle nature and rare qualities, speak like a vulgar woman to torment me before my father? An inconceivable situation is definitely the result of destiny and cannot be obstructed by any created being. And who can fight destiny? That unexpected thing which suddenly takes place after starting an undertaking is but the work of destiny. Prabhupada calls this reversals. That's his term. And then he concludes with Lakshmana, I'm not at all disturbed by this. I'm surprised by her behavior. It's unlike her. The destiny has caused it. I'm not blaming her, and you shouldn't either. And I'm quite detached and not disturbed. Sovereignty or exile are the same to me. Okay, that's Ram responding to, I want to kill my father. And here's Lakshman's response number two. He grabs his sword, grabs his bow and arrows, and raises them in the air. And says, why should one acquiesce to a painful fate as if helpless? Only those who are cowardly and weak would trust in destiny alone. The valiant always remain firm in mind. They never become disheartened when their purposes are thwarted by fate. Rather, they exert themselves with all power. Lakshman stood up, holding his bow high in the air. Today, you shall see me rushing at the enemy like an uncontrollable king of elephants. Not even all the gods united together will prevent your consecration today. Those who support your exile will find themselves either deprived of life or sent to the forest. I will dash the hopes of our father in Kaikeyi. Anyone opposing me will find no shelter in destiny as my fierce strength ruthlessly cuts him down. He drew his sword and waved it around in the air. The right time for Ram to retire to the forest has certainly not arrived. He should rule the globe for thousands of years. Only when his own sons are ready to take his place should he leave for the forest. That was the proper course of virtue. Lakshman's anger looked as if it was going to consume the earth. So Ram speaks a third time. Ram wiped away his brother's angry tears. He knew Lakshman was only speaking out of his devotion to him. Lakshman knew that ultimately he had to follow Ram. He knew Ram could not possibly act against religion or morality. Nevertheless, in his pain, he expressed his powerful feelings. Ram perfectly understood Lakshman's mind, and he comforted him. Oh, gentle brother, you should know that I am firmly obedient to my superior's command. This is the path trodden by the righteous. Be firm and control your grief and anger. That will be the most pleasing to me. So, three strikes and you're out, right? So, Ram's not going to yield. And Lakshman's not going to transgress Ram's words. Lakshman's face was wet with tears, and he was unable to bear the sorrow of separation from Ram. Holding on firmly to his brother's feet, he spoke to Ram, "If your mind is set on going to the jungle, I shall accompany you, walking before you with my bow. I do not care to achieve sovereignty over all the worlds without you." When Lakshmana, son of Sumitra, had finished expressing his resolve to accompany Ram and Sita to the forest, Ram consoled Lakshmana in many ways and forbid him to accompany them. But he persuaded him. The powerful Ram said to his younger brother, who was standing somberly before him with folded hands requesting permission to go to the forest, two things. My dear brother, you are affectionate to me, devoted to virtue, sober, always situated on the right path, and dear to me as my own life, obedient to me and friendly. If you come with me now to the forest, who will take care of Kaushalya and the glorious Sumitra? So he's invoking another path. By serving your superiors, your devotion to me will be properly shown, and you'll receive unequaled merit. Do this for my sake. Deprived of us, our mothers cannot be happy. And eloquently, Lakshman responds, impressed by your greatness, Bharata will respectfully take care of Kaushalya and Sumitra. Of this there is no doubt. If, after obtaining the kingdom, Bharata is misled due to malice or pride, in particular, and does not care for Kaushalya, I shall doubtlessly kill the wicked-minded and cruel wretch Bharata, along with all of his supporters, and even the three worlds. The intelligent Kaushalya is capable of supporting herself. My mother Sumitra and many others, because of her dependence, have been granted 1,000 villages for their maintenance. Take me as your assistant. You will enjoy with Sita on mountaintops. I will look after everything while you're asleep or awake. Determination meant determination. Ram yielded. Lakshman then joyfully went and fetched their weapons. Leaving their royal attire, Sita, Ram, and Lakshman accepted forest clothes and off they went. 14 years. So many things. Because of time, I can't do many things. There's one little passage that is one of my favorites, and it's also our commentator's favorites. When Lakshman spoke to Ram, he spoke in such a way, it's there in the what he spoke, the translation of what he spoke, but it was a doership speaking. I will take care. You don't have to worry about anything. And it wasn't the right mood. With karta aham. The doership mood. Not by depending on your mercy, but I'll do. So when they got to, it came much, much later, 11 years later, but Ram didn't forget. When they came to oh Krishna, the place where they stayed, where Ravana came, the name of the place is Panchavati. When they came to, so Agastya had suggested that they finish the remainder of their 14 years in Panchavati. So when they got to Panchavati, it was really nice, and Ram picked a spot, and he said to Lakshman, you make a cottage that will be suitable for Sita and for me and for yourself. And Ravana, and Lakshmana said, I don't do anything for me. You just tell me what you want, and I'll take care of it. So the acharyas make a big deal about it. Because Ram was recognizing way back when, he was speaking in false ego, so very subtly, you know, some people don't pick up subtleties. But Lakshman was able to pick up subtleties. Ram was not approving of that doership mentality. He was correcting it very subtly. And Lakshman understood it. And his response was, I'm not going to decide what's suited for you. You indicate what's suited for you, and I'll see that it gets done. Now, sometimes a person in charge, a teacher or a parent or a spiritual master or somebody that has some authority, they don't have to micromanage what somebody under them does. So they just say, you know, do the needful. Prabhupada would use that language sometimes. And rather than micro spelling out everything in detail. But in this case in particular, it wasn't detail because he didn't give detail. Ram didn't give detail. He indicated what he wanted. It was directional. You know, Sita is used to comfort. She's from you know, we're living in the forest, but she's she's a princess. She's been living in the comforts of palace life with Janak and then Ayodhya. So make something that is suited for her, and her needs are met, and someplace for myself. So he went ahead, and at the end, Ram complimented him, not, you know, congratulations, you passed the exam. He didn't say that. He was examining him, but he did pass the exam, but he understood what Ram wanted, and he did what, without all the detail, he did what Ram wanted. But what Ram wants, what the personality Godhead wants from us is our attitude of service, not just, look out, here I come, I'm going to do it, kind of service, but submission and feeling dependent upon the person who we're serving, and ultimately the personality of Godhead who we're serving, for the capacity to carry out whatever it is that we're about to do. Whatever, you know, go in the kitchen and cook, or arrange for something or other, a festival, or like what we're doing this evening, make some arrangement for this evening, or something. Just any service that you do. We're in the mood of service, we're dependent upon the persons who are engaging us, we're looking up. In that regard, that's a lesson, a very important lesson in the whole of Ramayana, that Ram corrected Lakshman. Lakshman understood, and he was very happy to take the correction, and he carried out in the way that was pleasing to Ram. There's a lot more to say, but it's 20 minutes before 8, so we're gonna have to put a close on telling stories about Lakshman. I think we got carried away in the beginning to get you three girls involved in the story. to see if there's any discussion. Lakshmana. We have one way in the back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah.
Like in the discussion that we had, you said that destiny is what made Ram go to Aranyavasam for 14 years, right? So,
destiny.
Destiny. So, does all of us also have, I mean, we do so many things and carried away. So, does all of us also have that destiny instigated by the Lord to go back, go home to Godhead?
Well, that's what the Lord wants, but there's a free will factor, a very important free will factor. So if we don't exercise our free will properly, that's not a destiny that we're going to go back to God even if we, you know, do stupid things.
Yeah.
So does that answer your question? There is a will of the Supreme Lord for us, for you, for me, for each of us. He wants us to return to Him. But then there's some reciprocation on our side that's essential. Essential, not optional.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you, Maharaj.
All right. You have something up front?
Some people say that Balram is a avatar of Vishnu. So is that true? Krishna and Balram are avatars of Vishnu?
Many things are true. And that's one of the many things that's true. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, avatars of Vishnu are described. And in the list of avatars, Ram is an avatar, and Krishna and Balaram are avatars of Vishnu. And it says, of all those who are avatars, one who is source of everything, including Vishnu. And that's Krishna. So is that confusing? Here's how to unconfuse it. Except for the persons who live in this apartment, the rest of us came from some other place. And most likely we came through the front door. So before we came through the front door to come here into this room or into the house, we existed somewhere. So avatars, before they appear in this world, they exist somewhere. They exist in the spiritual world. Lord Ram exists eternally in Ayodhya. Krishna exists eternally in Krishna Loka. And sometimes they appear as avatars in this world. As they appear as avatars in this world, they appear as avatars of Vishnu, like we came through that front door. It's the conduit through which forms of the Lord appear in this world as avatars of Vishnu. And they have an eternal existence in the spiritual realm. So it's correct to say, Ram and Krishna and Balaram are avatars of Vishnu. And it's also correct to say Krishna is the source of all avatars. And Ram exists before he's an avatar in this world. He exists eternally in Ayodhya with all of his associates. They're not contradictory statements, but they're both true. Is that all right? How about you? You have a question? No. You're a little girl. Duty. You have any question? Okay, what's her question that she can't remember right now?
She was asking how to become a devotee.
How to become a devotee? That was your question? Duty?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay. The best way to become a devotee is to associate with devotees. Just like, you know, here in this part of the country, the winters get really cold. And when it's really cold and you want to get warm, what do? You get near, you stand near something, the heater. You stand near a fire and you get warm. So if you want to become a devotee, associate with devotees because you take on qualities like those who are devotees. Now, especially if your mother and father are devotees, that's really good. And then if you have friends who are devotees, that's really good. So to have devotee friends, that's good. And that'll help you become a devotee. In my case, I grew up in America, and I didn't have any devotee kids to grow up with. I didn't become a devotee. But then when I went to college, I met some devotees, and I became a devotee. That's how you become a devotee, by associating with devotees. And then when you associate with devotees, it's nice. You can do things that devotees do together. They taught me lots of things. And, you know, I found them really helpful. Unfortunately, they were good devotees. The friends, they were good devotees. And they're still practicing Krishna consciousness, a whole bunch of them. Really good devotees. Taking prasadam is something that helps you become a devotee too. You like to take prasadam. Not just eat, but, you know, prasadam. That which has been offered to Krishna. And do you like kirtan? Do you like singing? Yeah? So do kirtan. That'll help you become a devotee. Nice devotee. So there's three things. Association, prasadam, and kirtan. And Krishna stories, Ram stories, Krishna stories, that'll help you too. But you do that with devotees. Okay?
I have another question, Maharaj, okay. Not related to the today's topic.
Go ahead.
Okay. In the Govardhan Leela, there Krishna shows us a pastime, right? Like instead of worshipping Lord Indra, he asks all the Vrindavan Vasis to worship Govardhan Giri.
Yeah.
So Indra gets angry and then the seven nights huge rains appear. So in our Kali Yuga, like most people, even we used to previously not worship Krishna and then worship the demigods. Now, at least by the grace of Lord, we got a little association with the devotees and we are worshipping Krishna. But there are many in my family who doesn't worship Krishna and still worship demigods on and off. So does demigods get angry with them if they are not worshipping?
No. What will happen is, by Krishna's mercy, I mean it's not a guarantee, but what will happen is, by your becoming a devotee, that will help Krishnaize them. By your association, becoming a devotee, by your association with them, they'll also become infected, in a good sense. Or spirit Krishnaized. By your association. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, she has another question up front.
Like, in another time, you said that Krishna graduated from school in 60 days. So, how many days did Rama finish?
They graduated same time. No time lag. He went there equally good students. Okay. How about you? You have a question? No? Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
You said Ravana told to Lakshmana that it's a destiny, so that's why he has to go to the forest for 14 years.
Not like our worldly emotion of somebody that's close to us gets hurt, or there's some accident, or there's some physical pain or something. That's on the material plane. This is on the transcendental plane. In short, it's a type of ecstasy that are looking at it through the material lens. It doesn't look like ecstasy. It looks like attachment and ignorance. It's not. It's an ecstasy. It's a type of ecstasy. There are 33 vyavichari bhavas, and these are some of them. And it's an ecstasy. But if one doesn't know the science of rasa, it looks like misery, or ignorance, or attachment, or something. From the material lens. Okay?
So like in the battlefield where the Kauravas and Pandavas do their fight, Arjuna gets dramatic. Why do I have to kill my cousins?
Why what?
Why he has to kill his cousins. So he asks Krishna, and Krishna tells the Bhagavad Gita. But if he could change one person's heart's feelings, then he could have changed Arjuna's heart feelings and say, you have to. But why did he tell the whole Bhagavad Gita?
Did you get it?
Yes, Maharaj, I think so. What she is asking is, Krishna, when he can change the heart of the people, sitting in the heart, why he has to tell the whole Bhagavad Gita?
That's your question? It's for us. Now, let's just take a situation where, supposing your mother wants to give you an instruction, but she doesn't want to hurt your feelings. So she may say, you're in the room, and she says that same instruction to somebody else. So you understand, oh, that's what my mother wants. She didn't say it to you because she didn't want to hurt your feelings, but she says it so that you hear it. And you understand that's what your mother wants. That's subtle, and it's affection for you. So Krishna speaks like that to Arjuna for us. He's really speaking to us, but he's speaking to Arjuna because it's meant for us. Because Arjuna can't be in ignorance, but he's as if he's in ignorance because we are. So he's giving instructions for the ignorant. Through Arjuna. And Arjuna asks all the right questions to help us get out of ignorance. And Krishna gives perfect answers. It's for us. Okay? So, we're ready for online. It's already 8:05. How many questions are there? Okay. One in the car or something. Because of time.
This is from Carlos Prabhu. There are many recommendations to controlling the senses and the mind. Is there any to tame the free will?
Anything to tame the free will? Yeah. Redirect free will in the wholesome way instead of the unwholesome way. And the wholesome way means tame the free will by reaching real happiness. And when you reach real happiness, free will is more than tamed. Free will directed the proper way is towards that which gives real pleasure to us. And when we're feeling really real pleasure, then we've got the right, we dialed into the free will choice properly. So bhakti is the remedy for taming free will.
This question from Visalaksha Prabhu. How to maintain the deep service mode in a consistent manner in the services of the spiritual master?
same question as Dyuti's question. She can give the answer. Your question was how to become a devotee, and I said by associating with devotees is the best way to become a devotee. It's how each of us have become devotees, by associating with devotees. So how does one become very determined? By associating with those who are very determined. And it's not a guarantee, but that's the best way. That's the best way. And you pick up good habits by associating with people who are very determined. Right? Okay, he's got a question, you've got six questions, but... We'll go for 2 minutes. You go ahead, because I can... Yeah, one question.
Maharaj, just trying to understand when Kaikeyi got the different feelings and understanding, Lord Ramachandra says it's a destiny. But in our case, how would I know that is it the... If a man behaves differently, is it because of destiny?
Well,
is it because
of he gave his analysis that is completely out of character. And it was with intelligence and mind and the whole shebang. So there isn't any other reasonable explanation other than, so he just by process of elimination. It's just meant to be. So I accept it. Who can argue something that's meant to be? Because any other explanation just doesn't make sense. So there's submission to the Supreme Lord. Anyway, so that's one answer. Okay, it's 8 o'clock. Prabhupada ki? Jai.